This weekend, Ryan recounts the coked up bear, Andy gets in the ring with Stallone, and we fly too close to the sun in the Weekend Rental. I'm Ryan.
I'm Andy.
And this is Weekend Rental, episode 148. Well, back with another episode. Actually, funnily enough, we ran into each other just earlier today. For the listeners, you'll be happy to know that Andy brought me a box of Flaming Hot Takis and Cheetos because he wants to ensure that I have diarrhea and the rest of my household does for at least a week.
If I knew I had to ride in a car with you next weekend, I maybe would have held onto those for a little bit longer.
Yeah, if we were carpooling to MGC, you'd have been like, hell no, Ryan doesn't get these at all. But yeah, you had a windfall of like super spicy snacks that your family just isn't down with, huh?
No, we can't take those.
My weird ass kids and me are like, yes, more heat, please. So we'll regret it, but it was a welcome delivery. So yeah, little preview, like you mentioned. Yeah, we'll be heading down to Midwest Gaming Classic, assuming we can get through the snowstorm that's coming, because they went back to the original date. But yeah, this will be the first year that we'll both have the full herd there on display. Your family, my family. It's probably going to be a much more chaotic experience.
Yeah, it's going to be wild, I think.
Yeah. Have you like, how are you doing with like setting up docs to your wife? Are you just like, This will be the magical like meat masterpiece that we've been talking of for like 7 years? Or do you think she's going to be like, no, like that place sucks?
No, I told her it's going to blow your mind. You have to have the turkey because it will be the best turkey you've ever had.
Absolutely.
And then you have to have at least one of the other meats because they're going to be good too. I mean,
just have all the meats really, as long as they're available. My daughter's already dreading that because she doesn't like that they don't just have like, you know, a grilled cheese, but I'm like, eat some French fries. Like, you shut up. It's like two meals a year.
Yep.
So yeah, that'll be a preview for next episode. I'd imagine we'll be getting back from the Midwest Gaming Classic in between this recording and the next one. So I'm guessing we're going to have all sorts of updates and experiences. And there might be another guy there who used to be on this podcast, and he might show up too. And we'll probably talk to that guy too.
Yeah. So
maybe we'll have an update on the mythical missing third host of this thing. So he might still exist. I don't know. Nobody hears from him.
We'll find out this weekend.
Also, I might as well lead into this because they didn't put it on the notes, but with my stupid luck, so we're going to this thing, you know, next week, both of us, giant convention center on your feet all day. What does my dumb ass do? Well, last Sunday I stood up off the couch, didn't realize to the extent that my foot had fallen asleep, and, you know, just casually started walking. Next thing I know, I took about two steps and found myself on the ground and was very confused. I broke my foot. So just a stupid old man injury. My foot was asleep. My wife, I obviously didn't see it happen because I kind of came to on the ground and realized something was wrong with my foot. But my wife's like, yeah, your foot just kind of like flopped over, and then you took a step on like the back side of it, and then like kind of like ran, stumbled to catch yourself, and just continued to like kick it into the ground. So yeah, that was great. And yeah, it's basically been pretty brutal. I haven't actually gone into the doctor because for one, it didn't turn like 50 Shades of Purple. It hurts a lot, and I'm pretty confident based on my previous experience of shattering bones, that it is in fact broken, but not out of place. And the doctors don't do much for feet, right? Like, so I've just kind of been fortunate enough that in a post-pandemic world, I can work from home. And I basically didn't walk at all last week. I sat on the couch, the same couch that betrayed me, and worked. So I'm back to a point where like I can like almost forget, like when I wake up in the morning, like the swelling's gone down enough and the pain's gone down enough that like I can almost forget. And then I take a couple steps. It's like, oh yeah, that's right. So I'm looking at a Midwest Gaming Classic weekend of a boot that goes up to my knee and then a knee scooter. So I'm anticipating It's going to be a very cool experience. I'm going to play up the crippledness, of course.
Yep.
Try and get deals on video games, because why wouldn't you?
Yep.
And then also in between now and then, I need to come up with a better story as to how I hurt myself, because I'm stupid and my foot fell asleep. Kind of sucks as a story. But that's the truth, people. It happened. I think I'm going to be okay after a few more weeks, but really embarrassing. And then, of course, we live up in the Midwest where we do, so we got a blizzard. So I had to give like a crash course to my wife on how to run the snowblower. And she comes in, she's like, well, I didn't get it perfect, but it's done. I go out. So just out of curiosity, like hobble myself out to the driveway. Here she had managed to like blow this wet snow on like, and just, I don't know why she didn't change like the direction nozzle, but she basically just like plastered the entire side of our house with like a whole band of like wet, sticky snow, like 10 feet up. I was like, you're supposed to turn the knob so it goes forward, but I don't know. It is what it is. I can't be too picky when I'm basically asking her to like bring me bottles of water throughout the week and give me new ice packs. So.
How do you juxtapose that week of, you know, not being able to move from the couch like a week directly after watching the whale?
Yeah, no, I had that. Yep. I know we talked about that before, too, where I had that like thought in my head. I was like, this is his life. And again, I was like super depression. I was like, this is this guy's life. Like he's 4 feet in either direction. He might make it to take a shit. We're not sure today. And yeah, it was basically like a real life run of that. It was not good. And then, you know, I'm sitting on the couch eating, like, cause all I can do, like the only joy I'm getting out of life is like being able to eat. So I'm like, more pizza, please. Like, and I'm just like, God, yeah, it's a slippery slope. I'm one, you know, foot away from basically being that guy, I think. So, yeah,
no, you should be able to, you know, at least get in front of the line to everything this weekend. So.
Yeah. Well, I had a pretty good trial because on Friday we started getting. So I don't, if you don't live in like cold areas, you probably don't know what ice dams are. But basically, you have like tons of snow on your roof, and what happens is it'll like pile up against the edge of your roof line, and you get these ice dams. And what can happen is they'll start to melt, but then like work their way up under your roof and come down through your wall. Pretty rare, but in the winter we've had, I think a lot of people are having issues with this. So I had like water coming in my son's bedroom window, through the top of like the ice or through the top of the window frame. Cause it supposed to make sense. Came through the siding, starts dripping into the house cause it's warmer and melting. And I'm like, we're leaving for MGC in like 5 days. Like I can't sleep on this thing. Right. Like the only solution is to get up on the roof and shovel everything off. And normally in our climate, again, if you're unfamiliar, you have a thing called the roof rake where you just stand on the ground and pull it down. Well, that only works when you get like nice, manageable, light, fluffy snow. And we basically started off the winter with 10 inches of just sheer ice. So it was impossible. So basically, having not used my foot all week, I was just like, I got to nut up. I'm like, I gotta do this. Like, I can't send my wife up on the roof with a shovel. So I took out my winter boots and just tied them as brutally tight around my ankle as I could, keep my foot together. I'm like, fucking got on the ladder and got up on the roof and shoveled the thing off. And then like, I basically like came back in the house and just like fell on the floor and like wept from the pain. But I got it done. And my foot didn't fall apart. It hurt like hell over the rest of the weekend as a result of that. But I think if I can handle that, I think MGC will be okay, especially with a knee scooter. So
yeah,
we'll see. But yeah, if you see me, you can sign my boot, I guess. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Probably not, because they're expensive and I borrowed it. But but it should make for one of the most interesting MGCs. We'll see. I'm hoping. God, it'd be really nice if I didn't have to use the knee scooter, but I just feel like that boot is not practical for walking around all day. So I guess I have a built-in seat is kind of what it's going to come down to.
Yeah, walking the. There's so much walking the entire weekend.
Right. You know? There's a lot of walking. I could do some Jackass style stunts too. And like try to take that thing down the escalator and really make cool. a name for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. They'd appreciate that. But yeah, so there's my sad life update and future plans. I, I think we'll both have a good time at MGC. You'll just be a little less crippled than me, so it'll probably be more fun.
But well, we'll see.
We'll see.
Bringing all my kids, pretty most of my kids, so it's
yeah. Well, let's talk about The Last Ronin for a couple of reasons. I put it on here because we talked about The Last Ronin, the graphic novel, and news came out that they're pitching this as a full-fledged video game, a sort of single-person narrative RPG-ish sort of story. No development studios are pegged yet, which I think would be pretty cool. I'm also cautious because in today's climate, those are the exact type of games that get canceled and never get released.
Yep.
But along with that news coming out, you sent me your photo. You actually picked this thing up and finished it over the weekend, huh?
Yeah. So maybe you just want to talk about it. We'll put this at the end of the podcast.
Well, yeah. Besides, like, I don't think I haven't really played many games since the last time we've talked, but I did watch possibly one of the greatest movies of all time. I don't know if you heard about it. it dethroned this Ant-Man movie, but it's called The Cocaine Bear. And it's a bear who does cocaine. And it's awesome. Holy crap. They lean into it in exactly the way that you would want somebody who's going to make a movie like that to lean into it. And it's so gory and so stupid and so bloody. It's just fantastic. Like, I went into it thinking like, this would be good for like a chuckle or like a scene or two, but like, it just keeps building and one upping itself to the point where by the end of this movie, you're just like, yep, I'm watching this over again, like instantly.
Wow.
It's a must watch. If you were into that sort of like popcorn gore, 80s camp, like it's so great. So great.
So is it just a bear? I mean, he obviously does cocaine and then he just, anything he sees, he goes after pretty much.
Yep. That's it. Yeah. There's at one point where he just like leaps out of leaps across the screen into like a moving ambulance and like hucks a lady in a gurney off of it. And she basically like grinds to a stop after flipping over, like using her face as a brake against the pavement. Oh
gosh.
And they just like stick with it across the whole. Oh, it's so gross. It's so good. And then, you know, people, you know, the inevitable people panicking and making poor decisions, which harms other people. It's pretty amazing. Like, it's up there for me. Like, this is one of those films that's going to be a cult classic for sure. I mean, it brings nothing intelligent. I will 100% admit that. No. And it doesn't really add anything to the cinematic, you know. There's no like cinematography here that's going to like change the game. But if you like the premise of a bear on cocaine fucking people up, you're in for a good time. Like a real good. There's, I don't want to spoil it either, but there's cocaine cubs. And that gets interesting too. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If anything, it could have been a little shorter, but I feel like they keep the action leveled enough that it's fine.
Sure.
Like, I just loved it.
Yeah, I'm gonna check that out.
I mean, I'd wait till it's out of theaters. I got to watch it through Plex, so like I paid nothing. Yeah. Full disclosure, but I would have paid full price to go watch this and felt like I got my money's worth. So
it's one of those movies where they are expecting you to. I mean, the name is the sales point, right?
Right.
And usually, that's not a good sign. Usually, that makes a bad movie, but.
And I think they're expecting you to go in with like such poor expectations that when you get in and it's like actually this fantastic ride from start to finish, you're like, okay, that was great. Like, so much better than I was expecting.
So much better than the real story.
Yeah. The real bear just like died from an OD. That's no fun. This bear does so much cocaine and just never dies. So.
Yep. It's
like I don't Scarface. Think it dies in the film. I can't remember. It was all such a blur, but yeah.
Well, they got to make a sequel. You got to keep it open for a sequel. Right? Oh, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bloody good time. two paws up.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I saw that was like Ray Liotta's last movie too, which is funny.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah, that's too bad. What have you been up to?
Oh man, I have not done hardly too much. The one thing that I'll talk about later in our staff picks has probably taken up a lot of my time. But okay.
Look at your staff pick now.
One thing the kids ended up watching, I watched with them, was the Puss in Boots movie.
No.
Yeah?
No, it's Puss in Boots. Yeah. You have to say it like that. This is the original that they watched?
No, the new one? So this is the new one.
Okay.
I'm fine with the Shrek movies. They made way too many of them. And I didn't think Puss in Boots was a very good character in those movies to begin with.
Well, isn't this like his third movie? Or second, at least.
It's his second.
In a series. He had a series.
Yep. So he was in some of the Shrek movies. Then he got his own movie like over 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't think I've ever saw.
I have. I didn't like it.
Yep. And then this one came out. And man, I got to say, like, the way they animate this, the art in it is really good. The writing's really good. The acting's really good. The story is pretty decent. The theme is really good. It's what is it called? Puss in Boots, The Last Wish.
Okay.
I would not have expected that out of
this. Shocked.
I thought this would be like a straight to Netflix, whatever movie. Because they're just bringing back, Puss in Boots out of nowhere. Because why not?
Money. But,
yeah, exactly. the tone is, the theming is basically like he's a cat, so he has 9 lives, but he's on his last life. So he's trying to go earn this wish to get more lives back. But, obviously he is outrunning death the entire way. And, the end of the story is like, everybody only has one life, But the way they animate this is really, really cool. It's like the characters are 3D and normal looking, like you do in most DreamWorks things. And but the backgrounds are almost like they're painted. There's some like light brush stroke to everything in the background. And
so it just kind of makes the characters pop all that much more.
Yeah. And then whenever there's an action scene, it does that kind of limited frame rate, kind of like Spider-Man, not quite to that extreme.
Sure.
But it just has a lot more style to it when it does that.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that. Like, it's a little jarring at first, but like it really does make it feel, I don't know, more fresh somehow.
Yep.
I'm sure it'll get old as more are doing it, because like the TMNT movie, like I mentioned, does that too. So it's like, how many of these can we have? But interesting. I wasn't expecting much out of that one. So
yeah, I would check it out. It's pretty decent. And the kids are obsessed with it. They keep watching it over and over. But
which is always great. I mean, there's nothing better than watching a movie like 400 times. So
yep.
It's the joys of parenting, right?
Yep. The big plus side of that is the movie only has a few fairy tale people in it. Because that was the thing with Shrek. It was just nonstop fairy tale people. And it's like, get it? That's the joke. That's the joke,
Yep.
There's very few in this. And they all have a story in their own right, kind of.
Okay.
But at the end, it shows them like sailing away to the land that Shrek's at. So
I guess
more
Shrek. Can we not get another Shrek? Can we just be done with, we're done with Shreks, right? They're not going to be more Shreks.
Sure looks like it's going to be another Shrek. God.
I don't want to do it. Can we just stop giving Michael Myers work, please? He doesn't deserve it.
I don't think people are giving him money anymore.
I mean, Netflix tried that thing that like everybody forgot about it as soon as it came out.
Yeah, that bombed.
Yeah.
I feel like somebody would have gave him Wayne's World 3 or another I've heard there's Austin rumblings Powers of that. Or it's, something.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you look at those movies too, and like, you can't make that kind of movie anymore. Like the Austin Powers sort of thing. And like the Love Guru, like it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Like, look at, did you watch any of the History of the World Part 2 yet?
No, I haven't.
And how that to... just, so I watched a couple episodes and it just like, it does not work. Like,
That's so unfortunate. Not in
the
way that
the film did.
Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah.
That's kind of was my, that was my kind of baseline. That's what I assumed it would be. It would just be kind of not great.
Like, yeah. They tried to do a thing that like felt like the original and it hits on some jokes, but yeah, for the most part, like you just can't replicate that in the same way for the obvious climate of culture nowadays, mm-hmm. which for better or worse, it is what it is.
Yep.
God, my fucking cat is like humping my camera stand for some reason. I'm not sure why this is happening. Cat, can you just go ahead and leave? All right. Well, I the other thing I want to talk about, it's mostly just stuff that I've watched. You ever heard of that Yellow Jacket show on Showtime?
I've heard it's really good.
Yeah. I know nothing about it. I didn't know anything about it. I just saw it on like a list of shows that you should watch if you like these things. It was like Supernatural and that sort of stuff. And I was like, okay. So I go into HBO Max or Hulu or whatever to try and watch it, only to realize it's like behind that Showtime paywall bullshit. But like, luckily I got access to that Plex server and somebody's been updating it there. So I guess season 2 just started. We started season 1, obviously. And yeah, that's a pretty cool show if you're into that kind of stuff. It's basically, the premise is like this state champ 1996 girls high school soccer team, the Yellow Jackets, won state and are going to nationals. And somebody's rich-ass dad charters them a private jet. Jet goes down. They all end up in the woods. Obviously there's some casualties. And then like some supernatural shit starts happening, but you're seeing the story from like 25 years in the future. So like they're rescued, they're back, they're adults. And they're like, nobody's talking about what really happened. Like there was a narrative that got published apparently, but that like weird stuff starts happening again. And you know, you're not sure if like, is this just like a, you know, survival of the fittest, like some choices were made sort of thing. And then you start to realize that like, nah, it seems like there's something more paranormal involved. We're not far enough to like definitively know exactly yet, but it's getting pretty weird in like a pretty fun way.
That sounds really awesome.
Yeah. And it's got Christina Ricci and she's she's super creepy in the show. Like really, really, even for her, creepy.
Okay.
So yeah. It's a good show so far. Cast is good. The bounce, you know, it kind of stays fresh because you're constantly bouncing back and forth between plane crash era. It's like, I'd say it's about 50-50. Depends on the episode. But like, you know, and then like some of the inevitable stuff that happens, like a cabin full of women whose like periods have now like synced up, but are like, they have no, like, there's no tampons in the wilderness. So they got like this big boiling pot of like, throw your dirty rags in so we can boil them and clean them out. And it's just like, wow. I just like, I wouldn't want to be like the two men who are in that cabin situation with them. It's not great. But yeah, for a show I really hadn't heard anything on, it's real good so far. So long they can draw it out, because I think they've kind of already stated that the timeline, at least in the woods, wasn't super long, like maybe like 19 months or something. So,
and that's all like in parallel, right?
Is it Paramount? Yeah. Well, it's through Showtime. So yeah, it'd be on Paramount.
Okay.
Showtime. Yep. And then I think you can also access it through Hulu maybe.
Yeah. That, I think I've looked at it multiple times on there. And then that's always the biggest turnoff, where it's like, you go into something that you pay for.
Right.
And then you see something.
Change your subscription.
And then you're like, oh, but you also need Showtime to watch this too. And it's like, oh,
who's paying for a subscription to just Showtime? Fuck Showtime. They don't have that much stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, you're right. It was Paramount that I first tried to click on it on. I'm like, why am I getting an error message when I try to watch this? I just wanted to watch the trailer. Let me watch the trailer. wouldn't you at least want to let somebody watch the trailer?
Yeah.
And then if I'm into it, maybe I'll pay, but they don't even do that. They're like, no, you must pay.
On the app that you're already paid for.
Yeah. Yeah. So pretty cool, pretty creepy so far. I think it's going to get kind of wild with like the occult and stuff, or at least it's appearing to be heading that way. So we'll see.
Yeah, that sounds good. We're still plugging away on Supernatural. It's a lot of episodes.
How far have you gotten now?
I'm not sure what season we're on. Probably 7 or 8. Seven or eight, something like that.
Well, then you're going to have to watch the Winchesters. We just wrapped up the Winchesters and like,
yep.
Season finale. That's a whole other thing. It was a pretty good one. They had Dean and they had Cass and they had, forget the other guy, but yeah, they were all there. Apparently, Dean in that show is on an interdimensional multiverse sort of hunt to find the one where his parents can live out peacefully and not die horrible deaths. But sounds like it's probably not going well.
I mean, after all the shit that you go through and all the things that you see, why not? It's probably, you can do it, right?
It begs the question though, is the, like what timeline they jumped back through and, you know, given where Supernatural ended, once you get there, you'll get there, but
Yeah,
you're going to get back into some good years of Supernatural once you get through the later half. Like it, have you gotten to the part yet where like, Sam is the bad guy?
Sort of. So I think we got to the, let's see, Bobby just recently died.
Okay. Well, death is not necessarily a hard stop in that show. So
no, you're going to get to
a pretty bad season where like Sam essentially is Lucifer and like that is one of the worst story arcs.
Yeah. And I think he's building up to that right now.
Yeah, that's it's pretty bad. Like they basically don't run Sam and Dean together for like almost 2 seasons. And it's just like, what are we doing here?
Oh.
But even though it's like some of the worst stuff of that show, it's still overall like one of the best.
Yep.
I mean, you run a show for 16 seasons. What do you expect?
Yep. Oh, good show.
You been watching anything else or playing anything else?
Not really.
GameStop experience. Okay. Oh, I need to hear about this.
When was the last time you've been into GameStop?
I think I walked into one a couple months back because my mom needed to find a Wii U tablet charging cord for my nephew. And that was probably the only time in about a year and a half. So it's been a long time since I've seriously browsed a store.
Yep. So I got when you're the member there, you get $5 coupon off every month or whatever. And I hardly ever use it because it's GameStop and there's not even one nearby me anymore. But we need an extra Switch controller at this point.
Sure.
It's going to go get a Switch controller. So we go to the mall today. Went through the Best Buy. Forgot that GameStop was on the entire opposite end of the mall.
Yeah, it's a hike.
Yeah, so went all the way across, got to this other side. Chains are down on the store. It says, I'm on break. Be back soon. In the middle of the afternoon on a Sunday.
I feel like that's commonplace for that mall anymore. Mall's not doing so great on like the whole being open thing.
Yep. So we had a couple other stops that we wanted to, you know, my wife would make in there and kids looked at the toy store and stuff like that. Got some jelly beans and went back. It's like a half hour later. This guy's still, he has a nice break. This guy, still not open. So we're like, okay, who knows when this is going to be closed. We're back open. So we left and like, okay, the other one's only like a mile away, right? It's not that far. Let's go over there. Try and go there and get inside, look at all the Switch controllers. And they're just like, almost like how Costco does it, where they're just like cardboard things that just have the picture on them.
Yeah.
And you bring the cardboard up. So I brought the Switch Pro controller. I'm going to buy a Switch Pro controller. They had
the official, like, you're not pulling any punches. Yep. Okay.
Yep. And I brought it up to the counter, and then just right away, just curious, I was like, hey, do you have any used controllers or anything like that? He's like, oh, no, I'll look. And he looks kind of in the back, finds one that is like an afterglow or whatever, does not have the cord that you need to charge it at all.
Right.
And it's rechargeable. So I'm like, why are you even selling that then? He's like, I don't know. So then they ripped open a couple other ones to see if the cord matches, which they don't. I'm like, whatever, I'll just take this. And he's like, oh yeah, we don't have Switch controllers. And I'm like, okay. He's like, yeah, they're really hard to find now.
What?
So I brought the cardboard thing up there, and then he's just like, nope, we don't have them. We don't have any controllers in the whole store, basically.
You don't have a controller for the most like popular console of the last 5 years. Not even like a Power A or something like in a package. Like there's like a million and one of those. You go to Walmart, you could like walk ass backwards into like 50 of them.
Yeah. They had a Zelda wired one, but I don't want wired ones, you know?
Mm.
But yeah. And the rest of the selection is, you look at the Switch games, there's like nothing hardly there, you know? It's pretty pathetic. And then, you know, he's like, oh, I think the mall location just had one, got like a pro controller in yesterday. They might have one if you want to go over there and check it out.
You're like, thank you. I'm good. At that point, you just go back to Best Buy.
Yep.
That's ridiculous. I have such an abundance of Switch controllers because like every place was stocking like the weird third party ones for so long. And I think I've got like, I bet I have 15 Switch controllers probably.
Wow.
Only like three of them are like truly wireless because like I don't mind the wired. My kids are a little older though, so like it's not a problem, but I just always bought them when they were cheap, but have yet to buy an official one. And it sounds like I can't through GameStop.
I was finally going to do it today.
So did you find anything else to buy, or you're just like, at this point, I'm done with you?
I ended up buying Mario Golf, I think.
Okay.
Because it was on a decent sale. And
you got $5 off, huh?
Yep.
How is GameStop still around?
I have no idea. That was wild to me. How like they have nothing hardly in there anymore.
Well, and I go in there, even the one in the mall, on occasion when I happen to be there, I'm almost always the only person in that store.
Mm-hmm. And that's a small one too.
Yeah, it's tiny. Well, and now the thing is like, I feel like they dedicate the first third at least of the store to just like Funko Pops and board games and collectibles. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. I'm still shocked that they're around after the pandemic. So,
yep. Yeah, it's wild.
Well, it's good to hear they've gotten better.
I don't know why you would need controllers in the store.
Yeah, that specializes in video games. Yeah. You know, it's only your one job.
It's the only thing that you have left, you know, since digital. You can't download a controller.
Yeah.
There's no digital controllers. So,
dude, that should be their slogan, GameStop, because you can't download a controller.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's their business model right there.
We might not have them, but
it turns out you can't steal or purchase them either. So, well, that sucks. I'm not surprised at all. I'm surprised that we still have two of them in town, to be honest. Like that, I feel like that one in the mall with what rent has to be in the mall. I don't know why they bother. Because like you said, it's literally a mile, half mile. I mean, you're only like three city blocks adjacent from the other standalone store.
Yep,
so
yep.
What's the point? Yeah. Well, you got anything else or should we go right into staff picks?
Yeah, that's it.
Nice. I remembered it this time.
Yeah.
So I'll go with mine because I think it's going to be a shorter one because you sound like you're pretty excited about your staff pick. But I was going to recommend on YouTube, there's a channel now, dedicated channel called Now in the 90s. And it is like a recap every week of like all the video games that released that day, I believe, in the 90s. Wow. and they do like a recap all the systems. And it's Pro Jared, who's the main host, and there's another editor that works on it with him. And whether or not you followed the Pro Jared debacle, how you feel about him as a person and how that all shook out. Turns out he probably isn't that bad of a guy. He just was in a weird marriage, and maybe they're both a little like weirdly horny, it turned out. And like she threw a bunch of shade on him, and maybe he wasn't actually that bad of a dude. Anyway, he disappeared from YouTube for a long time. And this is kind of like after him still coming back and doing some Pro Jared stuff, this is like his new thing, dedicated channel. And it's just like a nice slice, like every Friday, like 10, 15 minute video. Touches on the nostalgia. He highlights like, you know, some of the key points and heavy hitters and does like fun facts. And then they break it up into everything else that released. Then they'll kind of touch on, you know, your biggest value increasers, things like that. It's just kind of like a nice package. And just like a little blast of nostalgia, to be honest. It's like, you know, from Pro Jared, you shouldn't be surprised that it's like well edited and well thought out and written. Yeah, I don't know. I like it. Just, despite like him being somewhat tainted by all that. I mean, I think he seems like a decent enough human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good idea. The hard part I always thought about that is how do they know exactly when it was released on,
right?
Because a lot of that was just kind of like when you got them in the mail, like when they were delivered, right?
Yeah. Well, and then a lot of the thing that they run into quite often is like staggered releases across consoles. So it'll be like, we're not going to touch on this game too much this week because it comes out in a better version that we would rather talk about in like another month. So like when it's on the Neo Geo, let's talk about that and like forget about this bastardized Super Nintendo port, you know? So yep. There's some of that and you see a lot of repetition, but yeah, I agree. It's, to some extent, you're grasping at straws. And then the other thing I think about that too is like, I mean, granted, they have a lot of time, but eventually you're going to be out of the 90s, right? Or would you just recycle? I guess you could.
They're doing week by week, basically.
Yeah, I think so. Or, well, are they doing week by week or are they doing day by day? No, it's week. Yeah, day by day would make sense. So, yeah, eventually they'll be out of, I mean, that's a long ways off, but.
Yeah, that's still a lot of episodes.
It's a good show. Like when it comes on, like it's usually around, I feel like they drop around noonish on Fridays Central Time, and
okay,
I always watch it. It's good stuff, and like the YouTube channel is still pretty small. Like I don't know, I haven't looked, like 40,000-50,000, but
yeah,
it's a good.
I'll subscribe to that. That sounds good.
Yeah, just maybe don't DM Pro Jared.
Yeah,
you never know what you get. Weird picks.
Never know what you'll get. Speaking of YouTube, I haven't seen the I haven't watched it yet, but the Completionist video.
Oh,
there's
my
a
God.
Lot. There's been a lot of talk about this video.
I did
video.
Watch that. That is ridiculous.
It does he do what it claims he does?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
And he does it in the most so for anyone who's not listening, the Completionist put out a video where he put upon himself the goal of downloading and purchasing and downloading every 3DS and Wii U game before the shop shut down. And yeah, I don't know. He talks about how long it took him, but like basically the craziest part of the whole thing to me is that they realized that the most efficient way to do it was going because they looked at all the angles, right? Like cards are going to get blocked, things are going to get shut down. So they settled upon fucking Nintendo cards as like the best way to approach this. So then they had to have this mission of like teams going out to buy physical cards to redeem points, only to find out that Nintendo will only let you redeem $250 worth of cards at any given time, and then you have to deplete your funds after that. And then he's like, we have to do this 72 times. And then they're like, and it only lets you add more after a 24-hour period. So they're like losing days. Then they're coming into the horrors of like buying a 2 terabyte hard drive for the Wii U, only to realize that it will only recognize 160 gigs max. So he's fuck. So they're doing all this and like just the 3DS absurdity and like the amount of times that the credit card still got blocked, their Nintendo accounts were still getting like shut down. And like he said, and like they kind of touch on like the insanity of the 3DS on how there are fucking games like New Super Mario Brothers 2 that don't even allow you to purchase the DLC until you've beaten a part of the game. And I can't remember what game it was, but it literally required you to beat the full 3DS game before it gave you the opportunity to buy the DLC from the store.
Wow.
She's like, I had to play 24 hours of this fucking game before we could even have the option to have it appear in the store to buy.
How is that even possible?
I don't know. And yeah, he just like, he lit up the 3DS and like how bad it was. And like, but yeah, you should watch that because it is every bit as tedious and like spreadsheet based and meticulous. Like, oh my God, it looks like so much bullshit. And then at the end of the day, all he's got to show for it is like the two consoles, three external hard drives, like a stack of SD cards. And it's just like, he's like, this is like the most underwhelming result of like, yeah, for all his effort, much. Everything fits in like on this coffee table. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think he said he was donating it all to the Video Game History Foundation, which makes sense. But yeah, oh my God. Hats off to that guy and the team that helped him. Cause
yeah.
Wow.
That's cool though. Just getting it all downloaded and
it's ridiculous. I mean, absolutely. And at the point we're talking now, I think that shop's offline, right? Like March.
Yeah. By the time this podcast is out, it's done.
Yeah. But yeah, oh. it's a half hour video. I recommend watching it. It's great. So yeah, there's my second staff pick, I guess. It's good.
Yep.
How about you? What is yours?
Oh man. So, mine is the Rocky series. Just Rocky Balboa. The whole series. I watched all of them.
What?
In the span of the last 2 weeks. Have not seen the new one. So the new one came out. Or the new one's out in theaters right now. Yep. And for whatever reason, I just was like, okay, I should watch those movies because they seem significant. Even though I don't care about boxing, I don't really care about fighting as a sport really anyway.
Right.
It doesn't seem... Stallone, to me, has always been like a terrible actor.
Yeah, when he talks, it's generally not great.
Yeah, he's...
The other stuff's
fine. He's got his other stuff. Yeah. And then I watched these movies and it all came together.
That is not the answer I thought I was going to hear from you, but okay.
Yeah. So I think, you know, when you watch Stallone and if you don't never seen the Rocky movies, if you watch Stallone and you see him in Demolition Man and, you know,
the 90s garbage.
Judge Dredd and all this, where he is just so flying high on top of his ego. He thinks he's the most badass guy. He's got to do everything the most manly way possible, you know?
Yeah.
And he just sounds dumb too. But in Rocky, that's his character. I mean, he is just a dumb guy from the streets of Philadelphia.
Right.
It really fits into the person he is, you know? And he's not invincible,
just an average dirt bag pretty much.
Right. I mean, the first movie he's
a fucking almost homeless, really.
Yeah, he's basically, and he's like taking he's doing loan shark business, right? He's a collector.
All right, so like, but how many of them are there, like just straight Rocky movies, like numbered?
There is 6 Rocky movies.
I mean, I don't know that I can say with confidence that I haven't seen them all. I know I've seen at least like the first 3. Like, that doesn't it seem like it kind of wears itself thin after like a while? Just kind of the same shit.
No, but so the part about that is I was thinking about this for a long time. Well,
for at least 2 weeks. Yeah.
For at least 2 weeks, but it's on my mind a lot. How I was trying to think of something that is movie related that has been over this span of years. I mean, it's almost 50 years at this point.
Where were we at with Need for Speed? Or, I mean, Yeah, the one, the Fast and the Furious, we got like 25.
Yeah, it's pretty close. Yeah, that's getting up there too. But he plays, you know, a normal man. He's not a superhero or anything like that. Sure. Over the course of 50 years. And it's, you're seeing all angles of him where he is in that life, to, you know, point of his life, which is really cool. I mean, you sometimes see TV shows that kind of do that, but that's so, it's so linear, I guess, on a TV show that you don't really notice it.
Sure.
Where movies are like, okay, you're jumping in at specific points in their life and it's like, oh, wow.
He's got a kid by the third one or whatever.
Yeah. And, yeah. Yeah. And sometimes he's like living high, he's rich as hell, and then the next time he's broke, and then, you know.
There's a Balboa movie too, right? That's like predated the Creed, like in between like the Creed stuff and
Rocky
stuff.
One's really good.
Okay.
Pretty much almost everybody's kind of just a lonely man at that point.
Yeah. I want to say that's about the point where his wife left him too, like in real life, right?
Well, his wife dies in that one. She's dead.
Well, but like in real life.
Oh, yeah.
Balboa was like where he was getting divorced, I swear.
Sure. Yeah. Makes sense. It's a really good movie. It's a little unrealistic because he is pretty old and he gets back into the ring and.
Sure.
He does not win. That's one thing in these movies. He does not always win.
No, he gets his ass kicked a lot in the Rocky movies.
Yep.
And there's usually a happy story arc towards the end, but yeah, he does get beat up a lot.
Yep. If there's one thing about him that he can take a beating, that's for sure. That's his whole thing.
He does a really good, like, I've been punched a lot slurring speech thing. Like, that's right up his alley.
Yeah, there's some CTE going on in this later. So when you watch these Creed movies, obviously he's kind of a character in there and he does a good job, but he's kind of not the focal point anymore, obviously.
Is he in all of them? The two of them, I guess? Or are there three Creeds?
So the third one just came out. I believe he's not in the third one.
Okay.
There was like a disagreement on the direction that the movies were going, that he didn't want to be a part of it anymore. But at some point, you know, the dude is old. Like,
very old.
Like, I don't need to see, you know, nursing home Rocky Balboa. There's not much to.
Sure.
But the Creed movies are really good too. And it's cool that, you know, obviously that Rocky is in the background and you can kind of see where he is in that life and how it affects that. But yeah, I would just say, if from the outside looking in, if those type of movies do not look like they would be up your alley, I would say still consider them, at least the first few, because maybe, they are really good movies.
Maybe don't watch all 20 of them, but get into at least the first. The first three are the most memorable to me, but I've seen bits and pieces of stuff after that. I have not seen any of the new stuff. Balboa, Creed, I haven't watched any of it.
Yeah. The fifth one is awful because he just turns into an awful parent. Because in the fifth one, he finds another guy that he's going to train.
Oh, sure.
And basically neglects his son, you know, because then the son gets jealous that his dad's working out with this guy and not paying attention to his kid. And yeah, and then the guy that he's training turns on him. And the end of that one, there's no boxing. It's just a street fight. That's probably the best part of that movie, but the rest of it kind of sucks, especially when it's like rap music and like, you know, 90s stuff where it's like you think of Rocky music and it's like,
yeah,
Eye of the Tiger and all that stuff. And
I don't think I've seen that one, or at least not all. I mean, the first one always stands out the most. And then the Drago fight or whatever is like obviously pretty iconic.
So the second Creed one,
and Apollo Creed is, you know,
Apollo Creed's really good in all of those movies. Creed 2 is basically Drago coming back. It's Drago and his kid. It's Drago and his kid. So it's Drago's kid fighting the Apollo Creed's kid.
Huh.
So that one's pretty good.
So like Dolph Lundgren kind of ran out of ideas pretty quick on that one, huh?
Yeah. Dolph Lundgren has a few more lines in this movie than the first movie. I think he has like three lines.
He doesn't talk much in that one. He's just like a bionic Russian bastard.
Steroids.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, cool. Maybe I need to give those another shot. I think maybe the last time I watched them was like growing up on like a marathon, like TBS or USA or somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously those movies used to be on TV a lot more too when we were growing up. So
I just got to give it to Stallone. Like, I had him pegged wrong this whole time because
he's a genius actor, huh?
He is. I mean, he writes and directs a lot of these too. Like, this is his whole baby all the way through and through, you know? So I think he's got a lot of talent that way. And, you know, the character that he plays fits the way he acts very well. The rest.
Yeah.
I can see that. Once he starts turning into like trying to one up Arnold on every little movie, that doesn't work out as great.
Yeah. They were back and forth with the box office. That's for sure. Oh. Pretty much our entire childhoods. Those are the two guys in every action movie. It's crazy. Enjoy our content, head on over to Geekade, where you're going to find podcasts on video games, music, comics, movies, and so much more. And Patreon exclusives like early access to episodes, recording schedules, all available at Geekade.com. What's your geek? Weekend rental for the uninitiated. We pick a game for a given system. We'll play through it, or at least as much of it as we can manage, and then give our opinions on the game and whether we would personally buy or rent or burn that title. This time we are playing the NES classic, I guess, Kid Icarus. Kid Icarus is a very early game. I think pretty widely known as a split engine game in development, where the same engine was used to make Metroid and Kid Icarus here, which Kid Icarus is a mythical themed game, you know, the gods, Greek mythology. And you play as Pit, a little, I don't know, Cupid sort of character. And I don't know. I guess it's an action platformer. A lot of exploration, and like a lot of early NES games, very subtle on the graphics, a lot of black. There's no textures in the backgrounds. And where I think this game is interesting and almost unique, because it's not a great concept and it kind of went away, is you've got these like pseudo vertical and side scrolling levels where you're driving upwards, but you can also then walk through portions of the screen left to right to pop in and out the other side and like traverse steps and stuff.
It's Pac-Man rules, kind of.
Yeah. It's not great game design. I don't think. Floaty controls too. For a game that requires a lot of precise platforming. And where you might be thinking like, well, the verticality isn't such a big deal, right? Because like it works so well in Metroid. Well, in Metroid, you can fall. Pit, even though he has wings, if he drops off a platform and there's nothing below him, the game does not scroll. You are instantly dead. And that sucks a lot. And leads to a lot of needless deaths.
Yep. Yeah, that's maybe the one thing that I was disappointed about most. Because obviously this is after Mario and, you know, Metroid. And I just assume that it would be similar control. Like the control of Pit would be just as tight as those two characters.
Mm-hmm.
But it's most certainly not. There's some, and maybe it's just the lag that I have in my setup. But it just seemed like there was some extra stuff going on that just didn't seem right.
Yeah, it feels extra floaty to me. I don't think it's just your setup. I also think like the I wouldn't even say the hitboxes are the problem. I would just say that the enemies that come out like a constant barrage mm-hmm. are also very small and have limited hitboxes or windows. And you've got such little real estate, being it's mostly vertical or a screen by screen sort of game, that it makes it very hard to just not endlessly take damage. And then, you know, you can look at that and like the very sparse. It's so sparse in like power ups, like giving you health, giving you anything to help, like maybe once a level. You look at other games like Metroid, you can farm your own health back, right? Like you can do a pinch, you can save yourself. In this game, that's not necessarily the case. You can farm hearts, which is the currency, but you get to those shops and stuff is so absurdly expensive.
Yeah, 400 hearts, and you're like, what the hell? How are you supposed to even get that many right. at that point?
Well, and there's supposed to be a hack in the original NES version where you've got a second controller plugged in, you go into a shop and you press A and B at the same time, and it reduces the price of the items. I tried to make that happen on Nintendo Switch Online by playing an online session and having my son be the second person, and the shopkeeper just got pissed and like doubled the prices on me.
Wow. So it
completely backfired.
That's pretty good. I was not aware of that hack to begin with, but
yeah,
I wonder if they went back and added something to it.
Yeah, maybe I did it wrong, but yeah, I just became aware of that through maybe like an AVGN video or something recently. But I think the music is very iconic, the main mm-hmm. theme. And maybe that's something like that's worth noting is like for people who maybe weren't around in that era, like Kid Icarus was very iconic in the Nintendo library. I don't know too many people who had it, but like that box art, the promos, the fact that it was in like Captain N, the Game Master, Pit was kind of out there. Like he was a pretty big character through that window, you know, pre Mario 2 and all that stuff. So it's weird to like look at it in that lens and like think of like how high up Nintendo held it in their regard, or at least in their early library. Then you play it now and just realize like how kind of rough and not great this game is, because we'll all say it's not impossible. Difficulty wise, it's pretty tough. And then also I think the thing that gets me is not only is it tough, but it's also just never fun. I mean, it's probably bad to say, but like, I didn't enjoy any of what I was doing really. Yeah. And that's probably a me problem, but like I didn't find myself like itching to play the next stage. You know, I was just like, I'm just done. Like, it's just more of this, right?
Yeah. For me, I think that comes with like how many snakes are you going to kill? Do I have to kill before I feel like I'm accomplishing something?
500.
Yeah. And it just doesn't end up like you accomplish anything. Your reward sometimes is to just end up meeting an enemy that really sucks on top of that, where you're just like, okay, I'll take the snakes again.
Yeah. And why does Death, once he sees you, like turn into like a screeching little woman?
Oh yeah.
Who like summons other, like what's that?
That guy sucks. That guy sucks.
I did not get it. And I know there's like the eggplant king and like all that stuff. And the point, like you said, where you get to a side scrolling shooter, but I think by the time for me, you're getting into the playthrough and you're getting like the bigger dungeon, more exploratory, like room segments. By that point, I was just like so uninterested in what was going on in the game. I just didn't care to continue.
Yeah,
it was a change of pace, but it wasn't a change of pace that made me want to continue playing, which I think sucks, because usually if you get something new and interesting, you're all fired up to see what's next. And I was just like, nah, I don't want to learn a new thing. Like I figured out the last thing and I didn't like that and I'm good here.
Yeah. Yeah. That, once you get to the few levels in, you get to that dungeon where it is kind of a Zelda ish.
Yeah.
You know, screen to screen dungeon. But there's really only one way to traverse it. And there's a lot of just dead ends, which kind of suck, because you feel like you're just missing something. Like there's some blocks that, maybe there's an item that makes these blocks go away and I can do a shortcut or something. I have no idea. But I ended up finding a map online, followed the map, got to the boss, which was not impressive in the slightest. And then got to the next level, which was, it was, you know, side scrolling. It wasn't going up and down. So at least there was some change of pace, but overall it was the same game. You mix that type of like dungeon, you know, all the weird dungeon maps, dead ends. There's so many doors to rooms that are like, I have no idea what's supposed to be in here. It doesn't seem like there's anything in here. There must be a secret. I don't know.
Right.
There's so many items that you can buy at a shop and it's like, oh, this is 300 and some things. I have no idea what that thing would do.
Yeah. And like, I like that you could acquire those things and look at them in your inventory, but I don't know how you used any of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of them, like, I think just automatically do it.
Right.
I spent a lot of money on, I think, a feather. And all that does was if you hit the bottom, he would fly back up.
Oh, is that what that's for?
Yeah. Which, yeah. Sure, saved you a life, I guess. But it was a lot of...
Is it a one-time use then, too?
I think, yeah.
For like 450 fucking coins?
It was one-time use.
Or hearts?
Yep. Wow. It does feel good. Once you get like actually powered up and you're like, you turn green and you're like, okay, now you can
do more damage. I never got past like piss. Piss was about the color I was.
Most yeah.
Of the
time. Okay. And I think later on there's armor and a whole bunch of wings and a whole bunch of stuff that you can really, I don't know. But yeah, if I had this game as a kid, I don't think I would have been mad about it.
Right.
I think I would have been happy with it. I think I would have liked the secrets and trying to figure out like what that stuff is and, you know, what these items do. The format that we play it in, it's a little bit tougher, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's, you know, like you touched on, there's some neat points, like the rooms you can go in and like, there's definitely some like Zelda-esque, like, can you survive this challenge sort of, you know, stuff like that. And, mm-hmm. But there again, there's like bad level design with those doors on those things because you can only access them once and it's very easy to get like a pixel off or get hit and then be knocked out of a room only to just have no choice but to move yep. on. Yep. And then level design too. There's definitely spots where the game intentionally fucks you with like branching paths to like make you miss things, which sucks. Yeah, it's just like, and all they wanted to do to fix that was just like that scaling. Like the verticality should have gone up and down.
Yep.
But I mean, you look at the original Mario Brothers too, right? And once you went past a screen, there's no mm-hmm. going back. So I guess like in this era of the NES, and then hats off to them too, being like the only game where the thing that gives you life in every other video game, the heart, is now your currency. Like,
yeah, you gotta spend the heart
there. Yeah.
Yeah, well, when you get a half heart, half heart, and you're like, oh, must have to get
half
the other
one. Half a giant
one.
Heart is 5, and a giant heart is 10. That makes perfect sense. Yeah, really annoying enemy patterns, too. It's worth noting. A lot of NES games are, you know, notorious for just enemies constantly coming in off screen, but like the enemy patterns combined with the level design like makes some of that stuff just so infuriating. Like there's just almost no way but to take a hit sometimes.
Yep.
It sucks.
Yep. Absolutely.
And sometimes background stuff you don't realize is going to hurt you and then it does. And then you're like, well, son of a bitch. I don't get it. It's definitely an NES game of its era. So with that said, what do you think you'd give that thing in the Byron Burn scale?
So this one's tough because I think for what it is, like if you look at it from what age it was, I think it's a pretty decent game for what it was trying to do. I think the character is cool. I think the going up and down and the mobility and the different changing of, you know, game style or map style anyway is cool. It is unique, kind of going to the other side, scrolling over to the right and ending up on the left side of the screen.
Mm-hmm. Even though it seems like you shouldn't be able to do that, and it's almost an accident when you discover you can.
Yep. I wonder how many kids just never got past that, never had the spatial awareness to ever think of that would be possible.
Yeah.
That would be interesting. And there's a lot of stuff in here. I didn't think I scratched the surface on, maybe. So I can't say, you know, I'm a master at this game at all, but I think I'm going to go with Rent.
Okay. Yeah, I think I would also go with Rent. A lot of it's nostalgia for me, but then like also having it be one of those games that like I was very aware of as a kid growing up, but never really sunk any time into. Like I said, I didn't know anybody who actually owned this one. So, oh, my foot. When I got into collecting later on and played this thing for the first time, and I was like, really? This was the hyped up game?
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, there's a little bit of disappointment there, but I agree with you that for the age and when this came out, you know, in this era of the NES, where you're largely coming off of like the VCS, the Atari, where everything's like a one screen game, you know, this was pioneering sort of after that. So there's some ideas here that don't work out, but you could definitely tell where they were going. Yep. It's hard not to appreciate that, but I can't make it a buy. But certainly it's not bad enough to burn either. I think the rental's pretty fitting.
This one is so tricky because I think if I had this as a kid, I would have been really happy as to own this game.
Yeah.
With my NES, but
yeah, I could see it having that sort of magic of almost like a Zelda. You know what I mean? If you hadn't experienced anything else.
Yep.
Especially if you played this before Zelda.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, the fact that Metroid was really so cryptic. This actually had dialogue and text and, you know. Yeah. I think you're right. I've heard the Game Boy version's very good, or the Game Boy sequel or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I could see that being the right platform, right? A little bit slower pace.
Yep.
But, yeah. Rental for me.
I think
it's an episode, though.
That's an episode. I want to know what you think about Kid Icarus. You can let us know at weekendrentalpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter. Also, send us there. Leave us a review. Again, that's always nice.
Yeah, and appreciate it.
Till next time, be kind. Rewind.
Kid Icarus.
Kid Icarus. So sure. If it's a spoiler,
okay.
Here's a warning. Stop now. We'll put this at the end of the podcast. But yeah, I read the graphic novel as well, and wow, that's
it's dark.
Yeah. I kind of guessed that's who it was going to be. Just a reminder of there's only one Ninja Turtle, the other three are dead. And he's got all the weapons.
Yep.
And it's a mystery, don't necessarily,
at least for a while. Until episode three.
Something like that. Yep. I just assume, like, who would be the most, the one that you wouldn't assume that would be that? And it, of course, right. it's Mikey.
The guy who was taking a bong rip while everybody else was getting their ass kicked, right?
Yep. And yeah, that he doesn't crack a joke in that whole book. He is dead faced. Stone.
Yeah, so to be clear, it's Michelangelo is the last Ronin, final surviving turtle, and yeah, he's a broken, humorless shell of him, no pun intended there, of himself. And yeah, he just, I don't know, he's beaten down, he's it's basically a, like, I got nothing left to lose, I'm going down with a fight story, and you get that from the very get go. Like, the tone is there. Like, this is his last push. Like, he's done. He's gonna get vengeance.
Yep.
And then you end up in like this weird, like, did you get Terminator vibes also? Like, I got heavy Terminator vibes. Like, once you get into the city.
Yeah. I could see that. Yep. Yeah. It's
especially with April O'Neil, who's got like half robot.
She is kind of a Terminator at this point.
She's seen better days.
Yeah. She's still wearing yellow though.
Right. Casey saw her now though. He'd be regretting his life choices.
Yeah. Yeah. So April basically saves him from I mean, he was trying to kill himself with Leonardo's blade.
Yeah.
He was just done.
Well, does she save him or does Casey save him?
Yeah.
And not the Casey you're thinking. Because apparently Casey Jones and April O'Neil were going to get married. All hell broke loose, but she was already pregnant. So they have a daughter, Casey, named after her father. And she's kind of like the main, I guess, counterpart. I mean, April almost takes the lead. April almost steps into a Splinter role. And then the daughter almost takes on another like brother role, sort of.
Yep.
I mean, almost like a Raph. She's basically Raphael.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. She's trying to train up and kind of lead the rebellion against Shredder's grandson.
And also happens to be a mutant, because they don't know why, but they just figure April hung around too many mutants for so long that her embryo and uterus created a mutant child. Yep. So she looks like a human, but she is superhuman in strength. And presumably, if what continues to happen to the turtles happens to her, she's just going to become a giant like Amazon freak woman in the next 40 years. So
yeah,
we're not sure.
I mean, I love that part where it was like, yeah, we don't know why this must be. Maybe it was because you were hanging around in the sewer.
Maybe if the world hadn't fallen and we still had science labs, we could suss this out. But yeah.
Yep.
They breeze over a lot to just like get you into the final.
I feel like that didn't really take into effect anything, though. Like Casey didn't really take a beating. She didn't like become.
Other like, than her attitude, right? Yeah. Her fearlessness, I think, is based off of the fact that she knows that she's tougher than most people.
Sure. But like her mutant powers didn't really take hold. I mean, didn't really affect anything.
Yeah, I'd say you're right. Which is maybe more what is leading up to the second half of this, which I'm told is, well, we'll get to it, but there's a whole other wave that I would assume she'd be involved in.
Yeah.
What did you think about like the whole Shredder's grandkid thing? And like, to me, it was not that great of a realized like supervillain threat, because he's just kind of a pussy who hides behind like an army.
Yeah.
He kind of reminded me of, like, Trump. If Trump was leading the Foot Clan. This is like almost the vibe you get from that.
And if he was born that way. Because like.
Shitty. I think he was.
But, you know, basically like king as a, right away,
right,
you know,
because right.
he's basically been
Silver Spoon.
He just thinks he's the god of everybody at that point.
Yeah. Does he even fight? Oh, go ahead. What?
He doesn't fight anything until the end, right?
Right. That's what I was going to say, is like the couple like spats they have, and then leading up to that final fight, it's just, it feels so impactless, because he's mostly just been like this narrative, like evildoer, not like so much an action taker. And
yeah,
I don't know. And I mean, objectively, you look at Michelangelo and you look at him and it's just like, yeah, this is like 3-1. Like of course he's going to out muscle him. Plus he's got a shell. I don't know. Without his henchmen, it seemed like that was kind of a foregone conclusion that he would have victory. Which I guess is how this all ends, is, yeah, Shredder's grandson and Michelangelo have like a big final fight to the death. And Mikey wins, but at the expense of like being injured beyond recoverability. Casey finds him. And Michelangelo had been carrying Splinter's training book, or his like, you know, cheat book or ways of the samurai or whatever it is. So that ends up with her. And then it cuts to, oh, there's a new hope in the world now without the Shredder here. And then Casey is raising a batch of 4 new turtles that I assume April, who still doesn't know how she's a mutant, must have like somehow figured out a way to like make more mutants. So
yeah.
Allegedly, the next storyline after this is going to be that new generation.
Sure.
And I'd assume like in any post-apocalyptic world, if you take out one baddie, something worse comes after. Yep. So it's safe to say that things probably didn't get better. But in theory, Casey will be the new Splinter.
I mean, Krang's still got to be around, right?
Right. Krang's got to show up. Yeah.
I mean, Baxter Stockman is taken out in this story.
Yeah. I like that they had Baxter because, like, he's just such a memorable, like, from the comics and the cartoon, he's, like, such a memorable piece. So I like that he was a big part of, like, the downfall. I also kind of liked the back and forth. I know it's all over the place and kind of hard to read at times, but I liked the back and forth of, like, where the turtles ended up and how and, like, how they each fell. Like, they all got pretty respectful endings, although I do feel like the Shredder Donatello thing seemed, like, infinitely avoidable. Or not Shredder, but Splinter Donatello. Like, maybe just don't.
Don't show up, yeah.
Yeah, it seemed like that was going to go the way you thought it was, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
It was interesting. Like, the most of the book, he's still talking to his brothers as if they're ghosts or with him or whatever. Until the very end, where it was interesting, where he's just like, shut up, go away forever.
Yeah.
Because he was just like not listening to them anymore.
I mean, they were kind of being dicks. Like, they're just like, you're still a piece of shit, Mikey. And he's like, fuck off. They weren't overly nice to him, like his dead brothers, but
he's even imagining them being mean to him.
Yeah, I suppose it's the whole thing, right? Is like his internal turmoil, which goes a long way to shape the way he acts in this storyline. But yeah, I still really like the dark tone. I like that they were able to just like give like a, I feel like it's a pretty fitting ending to the turtle story. You know what I mean? I also like that Raph is the first to go, because I think everybody's natural instinct is Raphael would be the last one. It's like, you know, think about how Raphael is. Like, think about his actions and how hot.
Yeah,
he's so hot headed. So the fact that, and spoilers again, the fact that he is the first one into the fight, goes rogue and gets himself killed like before anybody else, like well before anybody else, is.
That's exactly how you would do it. Yep.
100%. And I mean, look at the first Turtles movie.
Yep, that's the same thing.
It's basically the same thing. Except this time he wasn't a little too Raph like he was in the second one. He was gone. So yeah, I really like it. I think I'd like to see it as a movie, but I think the fact that someone's willing to pick it up and maybe make it a game, I just think that's going to have a long road to release. Like, I could see that getting canceled for a number of reasons along the way, especially since it's a storyline that's like kind of out of like most people's purview,
right?
You know what I mean,
right?
And we got a new TMNT movie coming out this summer that's going to be more like kid friendly Into the Spider-Verse with Seth Rogen.
Yeah, that's the part that really got me in the first place, is that, I mean, Nickelodeon signed off on something like this anyway. Like, I knew,
but they don't count a canon, you know what I mean? So it's,
yeah, the original was obviously just as rough and tumble, you know, as this and dark, and but, you know, since Nickelodeon's owned it, I just don't feel like that they've really pushed the more adult views on it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. They definitely kept it super kid to teen friendly. So,
yeah. So I could see that having a rough time if you put a video game out that's here's the new Ninja Turtle game, except
this is not what I was expecting.
Yeah. Everybody's dead.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's cool. I'm looking forward to what comes of the game potentially, and I'm looking forward to the next storyline. I think I'll probably wait and do the same thing where it's like, once it's in a collection, I'll buy it. But it's a good read. I mean, if you had like an hour and a half, 2 hours, I don't even know.
Yep.
Depends on how much you're gonna really like stare at the artwork, I think, but because there's a lot of sections where there's almost no text. But
yeah, it's just like you know, just like fighting
elaborate one page battle scenes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Which are cool to look at, but
yeah,
you can breeze through them pretty quick.
So glad you picked it up then.
Yeah, it's definitely good. I'm interested to see where they go from there. I, like you said, maybe that's what they're marketing it toward, is, you know, they're trying to do a whole new batch of turtles, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, there's the potential. Well, I know there's like that girl turtle out there too. So it's like, I don't know if they're going to like pull that in.
We don't talk about Venus, right?
You know, is that her name?
Isn't that the one from that show?
Maybe
it was like the live
yeah, you're probably right. Yeah. I know what you're talking about now. Little Uncanny Valley.